So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Only because I know some people may not know, the medical examiner's job, well, you explain it. I mean, you know, what do you do? What's your role in evaluating crimes and deaths?
Well, as I argued about all day yesterday, since 1972, I have one purview, and that's to determine the cause of manner of death in non-natural deaths. And that's what I've been doing since I've gotten here. So we do a lot of investigation, and we care a lot.
So if there's a car crash, if there's an accident, if there's a suicide, if there's a drug overdose.
If you or me drop dead?
If somebody who's too young dies, if somebody dies under suspicious circumstances,
Andrew.
Thank you, I take it. Or if we know it's a homicide, or if we don't know it's a homicide, but you want to make sure that it's not, and sometimes they are,
yes.
That's your job, is to identify cause of death.
And now everything is actually going to be under our security.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Their own security, bulletproof foyer, vestibule, the ability to set an alarm if something weird happens inside the building. You can clean the whole facility. It is just, it's 1,000% upgrade from what they've got right now in the basement of Sacred Heart. Had a chance last week to go to the medical examiner's building, talk to Dr. Deanna Oleski. John Jones was there. He's the project supervisor. I'll have a video put up on our Facebook page a little bit later as soon as I get to it. But just wanted to talk you through it a little bit because this is a key aspect of figuring, I mean, when people die and it's not a natural death, or it might not be a natural death, that's when the medical examiner comes in. And that's a lot of cases every year, like 10,000 cases every year in four counties that they handle. It's an awful lot. And they're working under terrible circumstances right now. And they've been in the process of building this new facility for a little bit more than a year, $20 million. The four counties came together and contributed to that. There was a lot of drama around this because, you know, the funeral directors were upset about the location. And then my interpretation, they lied about Dr. Deanna Oleski. I think largely, you know, they had the meeting at Smokey's. You remember with Stephen Barry, and then Jeff Bergosh published on his blog. And guess what? There's actually a lawsuit still underway. She is suing those funeral directors, and the judge said, no, you can have a trial. It's not going to get a summary judgment or an early dismissal. You're going to actually go to trial, so next year that's going to happen. And, like, that was all in part related to this business of building a facility and the current facility and the location and and that she went to the county commission with her staff and said, hey, where's my facility? You promised me when you hired me. And my interpretation, Stephen Barry didn't like that. And so there was, you know, retaliation involved. I mean, it's an ugly, sordid past, but is finally getting resolved. And she is going to have, and they are going to have the facility they need, including a very professional, modern, what you would think of as a cold room or a refrigerator or a place where they store cadavers.
And this is the main cooler or the cold room. Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
This is, I'm going to say,
voluminous.
6 to 10 times as big as the current cold room. Am I in the ballpark? How many square feet in here?
And this is one of two.
Oh, I didn't even realize it's this. Holy smokes. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Much better, obviously, than the current facility.
Yes. In fact, we have stainless steel walls, which again means we can actually clean.
Yeah.
We can't clean in the previous facility. It's part of the reason why it smells. It should never smell.
Okay.
This room should never smell. Okay.
So, Candy, you remember when we went to the old facility, the one that's currently in use, and we saw, I mean, for lack of a better term, not just gurneys, but racks.
Racks
with bodies
people.
Stacked,
sure.
I think even three high in some cases, and
that's
they have
right.
to use equipment to move them around because it's extraordinarily cramped. Well, this is all big enough that they can all be on basically one level. So that's not injuries to the workers. That's not, you know, damage to the bodies and the moving of them. That's not bumping into things and all of that.
This will mean that, for example, you don't have to stack two or three on top of each other, not like literally, but in racks.
Right.
Now you can have one gurney with one
person. Yes.
And actually have access to them easily and not have to play the puzzle game of moving them around to get access.
It's literally, you remember that, it's literally a puzzle trying to get them in and out. I mean, every time that I'm on service, I've got bruises all over me because I'm bumping in the carts. But we will, we'll bring the racks over because it's always good to have our mess disaster in storage.
Just in case.
But using, you know, a forklift every single freaking day and transferring bodies off the top, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous for the staff, and it's just
it's bad for it's bad for keeping the evidence, and like everything is bad for
everything is bad. It's not preferred.
And there is a second cold room, what she called the VIP cold room, which is, and there's also a second examination room, the VIP exam room, or autopsy suite, which is specifically because you might have things that need additional level of security or control, if there happens to be a very important person. But if you might think of it a different way, if there's the criminal who engages in some kind of a mass attack and you have, you know, five or six or God forbid more victims, I mean, any victims is too many, but do you want to have the cadaver of the murderer in the same room as the cadavers of the victims? Well, no, that's horrible. And now they don't have to do that.
The VIP cooler.
Okay.
Which is our nice way of saying persons who may be decomposed or who are of important persons.
Okay.
You know, for example, one of the hardest things about Pulse, the mass shooting in Orlando, that I don't even know what, 50 plus persons died, and then the shooter also died.
Yeah.
The biggest kindness that the chief could have given to the family was keeping the person who killed all of those people separate.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, these are just little things. So,
but I mean, and that's true. I mean, it doesn't have to be that scale of an event to have that same level of concern for the victims if there's more than one. And
right.
And again, there's six stations inside the main facility, and there's two inside the VIP area that they can examine multiple bodies, you know, sort of simultaneously, which is a great expansion of their capability. And it can all be washed, and it can all be, you know, flushed out of the, you know, whatever goes through the ground system. Everything is designed to avoid the odors that they have right now, the cleanliness problems that they have right now. It's a massive upgrade. And even just being able to, like, train people in a separate facility if they want to, you know, teach people how to do this or have observers how to do this or, you know, and her own reaction is just kind of wild on this.
I bet every day you come over here, it is still fresh and amazing.
I still actually don't believe it's real. I'm not joking. I still don't believe it's real.
And they can do citizens academies. They can have the forensic anthropologist doing work on in the separate area. It's honestly, you know, having known Dr. Oleski for the few years that I've known her and having been at the one facility and now seeing the contrast with this one, it's amazing. It's fantastic. Candy has traffic on the fives.
There is a semi. This is broke down, it looks like, on I-10, it's westbound right between the Pine Forest exit and Highway 29 in Carr City. So that's what that slowdown is, but it is starting to move now. And thank you for texting that in, 437-1620, if you see that accident or slowdown. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the medical examiner's facility. And look, you paid for this. It's $20 million of taxpayer money for the four counties. And, you know, you pay for the operation of the medical examiner. It's a law enforcement function. This is how you have expert testimony at trials. This is how you know what actually killed somebody and whether it was, you know, age or natural, or whether it was a murder intended to look like age or a suicide, which happens sometimes, you know, drug overdose deaths. And for families of these victims, they need the certainty of knowing that their loved ones were treated well professionally, that it was every part of the process was done according to whatever laws are appropriate, but also according to the sort of standards of decency. And even I could tell you so much. I'm not going to get to all of it. It's going to be on the video that you can watch. But, like, consider the X-ray room, which was built to be an X-ray room instead of a place where they happen to throw an X-ray machine like they have right now.
So the workflow...
And the current X-ray machine that they have, it's a low-dose X-ray, but it was not designed for doing X-rays of cadavers. It was designed for doing X-rays of African diamond mine workers for making sure they weren't smuggling diamonds out inside their bodies. Well, because it was built for that and then adapted for cadavers, it's not the right size, and she'll explain.
So the workflow is you get somebody from the cooler, you process them, and then you take them in here for X-ray, and then you put them right back. So this is a Phobos XR. This is similar to the Lodox that we have in Sacred Heart. The low docs is low emission radiographs,
okay.
Meaning it only ever goes out at one input, a singular input,
okay.
Which is great, assuming that everybody's the size of a Afrikaner from South Africa, which okay. is where it came from. It was
okay.
for scan. It was originally made to scan persons who worked in diamond mines to get an X-ray every single day.
Got it.
As they were leaving, and they're skinny, smaller people than us, to
yeah.
be quite honest. And so, even though you do the intention of having a full body X-ray is you only have to do it once, right? Well, because they're skinnier and shorter than us, we'd have to reposition the body still
to do multiple X-rays to get
to get
American
everything.
Bodies.
Yeah, like for example, like I had a bullet that was retained in a foot, but it got cut off at the ankle.
Literally, the slab that receives the X-rays is too small for American bodies, so they have to do an X-ray, move the body, do an X-ray, move the body, do an X-ray, move the body, and then patchwork together the various X-rays because it was not built for American-sized bodies.
When you said "don," I thought you were saying that figuratively.
No.
I didn't know that was actually
literally the
Got
problem.
It.
Yes.
This so this whole system is a little bit different than the low docs. It can emit a higher amount of X-ray, still low dose. But it's self-regulating and dose-dependent based on how thick you are, which again, thickness is a way of saying obesity.
Yeah, right. But only emitting as much radiation as the body necessitates.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great because before we couldn't adjust it at all.
Yeah.
So we had bigger persons.
Because again, South Africa, you have skinny bodies. Okay, was the reality that they were dealing with. We have fat people in our country, and so doing an X-ray of an obese person versus a very scrawny person requires a different level of radiation to penetrate properly and get a good X-ray. Well, the new machine will, you know, adjust for that.
At lower resolution because you can't get the X-rays through. So this whole thing here is an X-ray plate.
Oh, okay.
So this is, I mean, this is just so cool. The fact that it's actually wide. The other one is probably this. And this is a solid, 48
inches?
And
it's short by probably a couple of feet shorter than this?
Yes.
And if you were building an X-ray room, like when you go to the dentist, you know, the tech comes in, puts the X-ray stuff on your face, and then goes where? Behind a shield that was built for the purpose, that's lead-lined, and, you know, the whole room is lead-lined to prevent any X-rays from getting out so that nobody who's working in that area is exposed in any way, right? It's all professionally designed. The facility they're in right now? No, not like that. At least it wasn't like that. And, you know, it's just a basement room that they repurposed into X-rays. So how do they shield themselves from the X-rays?
When we had the plain film or plain X-ray system where we had to take multiple, when I first got here, we had the X-ray system that was from 2003. And it was a plate that was about like this thick. It was this big. It was held together by duct tape and tears. And I'm so glad to never see her again. And so they would have to take like 16 X-rays to go head to toe. And how we would do it, because we didn't have a leaded out room, is we would duck behind the pillars. As like somebody's shooting, they're like, oh, shooting X-rays, and everybody like kind of like scampers and, you know, hides behind the pillars.
Is this the shield, I assume?
This is actually what it should be.
Right, where you can just walk behind and be safe.
Yes.
The whole room is, so yeah.
The whole room's let it out.
The whole room's let it out.
The glass is lead lined, the frames are lead lined, the entire walls are lead lined.
Yes.
These sliding doors behind us are lead lined.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
This room is protected from everywhere else, but you're also protected behind the wall.
Okay. Yes.
They built it for the purpose, which is how it's supposed to be. They have a sally port now where you can drive through where the, you know, ambulances or hearses are going to come through up to two at a time. Equipment to lift very heavy bodies. It's all sealed, epoxied, so that you can clean it down if you need to. It is $20 million. It is on time. We were kind of joking about how she got told that don't come back for more.
I know there was a lot of wrangling ahead of time, but you're coming in at budget, below, time-wise.
We are on budget.
On budget.
On budget.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks to Mr. Jones here.
Which anything these days that's on budget and on time, celebrate. So.
Oh, absolutely. I was told to never come back. And I said, no problem. I'll never be back.
Yeah.
Mike Kohler told me that.
We'll give you a little bit more this one time and don't come back for more.
Yes.
And now you have it, and it's
and
on time on a budget.
I did exactly as I was told.
And even things like having a suite for the autopsy techs, which they're all crammed in now. It's built for expansion. If in the future, you know, with the way churches are built to expand now, this is built to be able to be expanded if it needs to. There's a wellness room where they're going to have exercise equipment and, like, video games for decompression and cognitive healing. When you go see a terrible scene, it's if you can get into doing something else right away, that can distract you and, you know, make those memories not build quite as vehemently. The records room, which they're currently storing records off-site at a place that they basically get from Robert Bender, the supervisor of elections. But if she has to send somebody to go there, it's 2 to 3 or 4 hours that they're not available for other work. It's just across the board, it is fantastic, including it was funny because John Jones, who is the, the project manager, was talking about how it was a really meaningful thing to him to be able to help with this because he saw the old one. And just like you can hear it in Candy and Me, and I know you've not seen the old one except maybe on videos and whatever, but it's so exciting that these people who do an essential law enforcement function are going to have the kind of facility that they really deserve and that you would want your loved ones to be the beneficiaries of if they happen to be killed in an unnatural way.
It's been an interesting project. I've learned a lot. I didn't know that I needed to learn all this. It is like a fire hose.
Well, it's a unique, I mean, it's a single purpose facility. It's not something you would use for anything else. And so I'm sure the details are very particular.
It is my pleasure to be able to manage this project because, kind of getting emotional, but seeing the space that you guys work in, like, it's not adequate. And so just being a part of the team, it's fantastic.
Not adequate is a very political way of putting it.
It sure is. That's about as diplomatic as you can possibly be. Even to the point where they want to be able to develop a training for forensic photography, which is a very niche kind of thing, and they have one of the best in the country working for her that she basically poached from Detroit. Every part of this is, anyway, and I just had somebody say, you know, on my way to work, I drove by the facility. Calling it purple is an understatement. Planet Fitness is jealous. No, correct. It really is. And Candy, you've seen the outside pictures a little bit.
It is beautiful.
So.
Yeah, I would do my house like that.
Traffic on the fives, Candy.
Okay. And I aren't you so proud?
I really am.
See your friends
finally,
get something they really, really want, we really need. It looks like the accident, the slowdown, rather, happening on I-10 has been cleared, so you shouldn't have any problems getting I-10 eastbound or westbound. It is still backed up over the bridge for the Pensacola, the front gate of Pensacola NAS. And that's it. Not quite to the Shell station, just over the bridge, and that's it. 437-1620. You can text if you see that accident or slowdown, Candy, with traffic on the fives.
Somebody texted in, who wants breakfast now? No, I get it. I know.
Dude,
but
go there and say that. I didn't eat for 2 days. What a diet.
Right, yeah. Right. But also, you know, I do a morning show. I don't do the afternoon show, so this is what you get. Sometimes we talk about unpleasant things in the morning. I'm so sorry. If you are thinking about buying or selling a piece of residential real estate, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they are very, very, very good at this. Sold 206 homes last year in 2025. That's 4 a week. That means they know how to get to closing. That means they know how to stage, to price, how to, you know, photograph it, how to list it, how to do the open house and to follow up from that. And again, to get all the way to closing 4 times a week is crazy, unbelievably productive. So talk to her and find out why. Ask her why she's so good at this. And, you know, just get to know her. And then you make a decision. I mean, you should, if you're going to, you know, it's a hundreds of thousands of dollars decision in your life. You want to engage the best professional you can. At least talk to a couple. Right? And talk to two or three, and then you decide what you want to do. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Here's a question for Christians. What year was it that you were saved? I'm asking, when were you converted to Christ? And I'm not asking, when were you baptized or when did you receive the Lord's Supper? I'm not asking about religious works that you have done, but I'm asking you, when did you receive the work that Christ has done for you? When was it that you were convicted about your sin? When was it that you called on Christ to save you from the consequences of your sin? When did you seek God's forgiveness? For me, it was June of 1988. When was it for you? If you have never received Christ's forgiveness, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform.
7:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy Petronis will join us next. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, the U.S. launching some more airstrikes on Iran Sunday, targeting what military officials are saying were threats to commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. Of course, following that, Iran launched some retaliatory strikes on military targets in Jordan, Kuwait, and Qatar.
Gianna Gelosi, President Trump ordering flags to be at half staff in honor of Senator Lindsey Graham. Fox's Jonathan Seri.
The president spoke with Graham on the phone just before his death. Supporters say that having the president's ear is what made Senator Graham so effective in passing legislation to ultimately benefit the people back home here in South Carolina.
Lindsey Graham was 71. The U.S. conducting a fresh round of strikes against Iran in an attempt to counter Tehran's aggression in the Strait of Hormuz.
This latest round of airstrikes came after Iran fired on a Cyprus-flagged cargo ship crossing the strait. It was traveling outside of the route designated by Iran and following the route encouraged by the U.S.
Iran striking back.
Iran once again firing on its neighbors. Jordan, Oman, Bahrain, and Kuwait all took fire.
Fox's Mike Tobin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 77 degrees. We'll check in with Brooke Richardson, get a look at our forecast in just a few minutes. A 36-year-old man from Jay has died after a crash on Saturday, and Navarre troopers say that happened at about 8:45 near Highway 87 and Segura Street when a 75-year-old Fort Walton Beach woman driving an SUV collided with his motorcycle. That man died from his injuries. The SUV driver was not hurt. Troopers have not released further details on that crash. Florida Senators Rick Scott and Ashley Moody are marking 5 years since Cuba's Patria Avida protests. The two reintroduced a resolution honoring Cubans who took to the streets in 2021 to demand a democratic change and protest human rights abuses under the Castro regime. Senator Scott says the fight for a free Cuba is not over, pointing to the recent indictment of Raul Castro. Moody compares the protesters' courage to America's founding fathers. Now, Atmore Community Hospital is apparently reportedly filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They do say patients shouldn't see any disruption in care. The 49-bed hospital, which serves many residents in North Escambia County, points to rising costs and a legal fight over local tax funding as reasons for that filing. Hospital officials say that move is meant to stabilize the hospital's future. Officials say the emergency room is still open around the clock and staff and insurance plans remain the same. Well, a new PBS station could be coming back to Northwest Florida after WSRE-TV lost its PBS affiliation last month. Emerald Coast PBS says on its website it is the newest PBS affiliate in the country, serving Pensacola, Fort Walton Beach, Destin, and Panama City. A national PBS spokesperson says the station is listed digitally and hopes to eventually broadcast, although several steps do remain. For now, PBS content is still available through online streaming apps. Hundreds of homes in the Gandyville and Burnville areas lost power on Saturday after falling trees took down utility lines. A large oak tree collapsed on Killam Road near Century that blocked the road, knocked out electric to about 400 EREC customers. A second tree fell near Hecker Road in Century. That one did miss the power lines. Crews say strong winds ahead of a thunderstorm knocked those trees over. The town of Century is getting $2,500 from AARP to study how walkable the town is. The grant funds a community walk audit, checking sidewalks, crossings, and lighting along key corridors. Century Mayor Ben Boutwell says the goal is making Century safer and more accessible, especially for its older residents. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Again, we've got 77 degrees right now with cloudy skies this morning. Let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. We did have a backup on I-10 westbound, but it looks like that's fine now. No slowdowns now on I-10 westbound or eastbound. 98 clear, Avalon clear from Garcon Point Bridge all the way through. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, please text it in. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high chance of rain, 70% overall, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Tuesday, 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 87. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Wednesday, a 20% chance of rain with a high near 91, and Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
77 degrees, cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Prediction market platform CallSheet is launching a trading terminal designed to solve problems its most active traders run into. The terminal will also include features for trading on the company's perpetual futures. CNBC first reported about the development of CallSheet Pro in June. Oil prices have risen this morning by more than 3% as energy shipments via the Strait of Hormuz remain under threat, with the U.S. and Iran announcing renewed military strikes. West Texas Intermediate at $73 a barrel, Brent at $78. Companies around the world, especially in the U.S. and China, are racing to build brain-computer interfaces, some through invasive implants, others by skipping surgery altogether. Investors and industry players say the market for augmenting human abilities beyond therapeutic uses remains many years away. Futures are lower this morning as SK Hynix shares fall. NASDAQ futures down by more than 300 points. Friday, the Dow gained 149, the NASDAQ up 74. That's Your Money Now.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Brody with ICEA Optical Outfitters and Boutique. Join me on the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 9:30. With over a decade of experience as an optician, I bring the eyewear selection process to you. Have your prescription ready, and ICEA Optical Outfitters and Boutique will take it from there. That's Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right and a radio. Oh,
Andrew McKay, Spence Golden Morning News. Joining us by phone now, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Happy 250.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you and I, the last time we talked, the country was only 249 years young. So, I know it's a little bit old in terms of news, but, man, that fireworks show was fantastic. And I love seeing all the flags on display.
Yeah, I tell you, that's one thing about this administration. You know, he definitely wants to seize the opportunity to make Washington safe again, Washington beautiful again. He wants to take out and celebrate to a whole new memorable level for the events surrounding the 250. So, yeah, it's been a pretty awesome time to see some history made.
Oh, no doubt about it. I was actually telling my son, who had not watched it, I'm like, did you watch the fourth? He's like, no. And I said, you need to go pull it up on YouTube and watch it. It's like a finale for 40 minutes. And he's like, oh, okay. So, you know, I hope he enjoys it. We've had a lot of incidents take place since you and I last talked. Obviously, the one that is the most on everybody's mind in the news anyway is the passing of longtime Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. I never had a chance to meet him. I can't remember if I ever interviewed him. I mean, ran for president. He was one of the most prominent neoconservative voices in the government, you know, longtime associate of John McCain and a lot of that vintage. But, man, a sudden loss all of a sudden. He has his heart issue over the weekend, right?
Yeah. I'd been with the senator a couple of times. The first was in 2018. Rick Scott was running for United States Senate. He was then Governor Rick Scott over in Jacksonville. So he and I and Senator Graham we did a rally for Rick Scott together over there. So we got to spend some time together, and it really I appreciated him because here Lindsey Graham was coming to Florida to oust an incumbent, Bill Nelson, with a non-incumbent, Rick Scott. And so it was an awful lot, I thought it said, for him, you know, getting into the trenches with Rick Scott in a contested election against a senator that probably Lindsey Graham had worked with for the last, you know, 12, 18 years.
Yeah.
So, and then the second time was when I was a CFO, we were down in Palm Beach County together, and we shared a ride to a bill signing together. We all assembled at the same place, and he was sitting in the front seat, and I was in the back seat, and we rode to a bill signing together. But nice guy, hard worker.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. I mean, obviously very passionate about government, passionate about his principles, and, you know, being willing to take a contrary position to whoever, you know, he disagreed with. I didn't always agree with Lindsey Graham, but I, you know, more often than not, and I thought he was quite a force for, you know, that particular viewpoint on conservatives, and he was certainly clear about that. We've had the Supreme Court has done, actually, before we get to the Supreme Court, Iran, obviously, we're back off of the ceasefire. The war powers vote has been brought up again. Where do you think we're at with that since they kind of voted to stop hostilities? I think the House even as well. But then those hostilities had started and now we're starting again. What does it mean as a legal issue for the president and the, you know, the Pentagon's activities right now?
So we touched a little bit on this last time we talked, and I still say, I think this is becoming more of the narrative of why we're back engaging. You've got these different factions in Iran that still have access to their own type of weapon systems. You know, we're trying to negotiate with a very dysfunctional, very fractured set of angry people, you know. So you're going to have these one-offs that are going to happen where they're going to attack for one reason or another. We don't know how compensation payment, you know, those relationships are taking place right now. So they're lashing out. And so the president, I think, has been trying to be the nice guy, but now he's going to go back and just I think you will see more and more of a response through aerial campaigns in order. And again, I post on social media that I said the beating is going to continue until the morale improves. I really think that this is where the president is going with this. And I think the fact that they made death threats through however way they notified the public with the president, then that was also another retaliatory move that triggered the president's actions.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, it was kind of read between the lines a little bit, but like using the other Air Force One and all of that, like, you know, how was Iran involved in all that? Well, you know, they're not just quietly going into the night and behaving, right? They're doing everything they can, including they would love to be able to assassinate our president. Obviously, I mean, we targeted and killed their president. So it's, you know, I won't say it's justified. I'll say it's understandable. They hate us and they've hated us for 47 years. And we're finally, you know, acting on, you know, fair reciprocity on this.
And they really got the hell beat out of them. And, you know, and they just got up for their drunken slumber and they're mad. So, I mean, yeah, this is what it is. We're going to have some challenges getting those guys to get on the same page with us.
The Supreme Court had handed down several rulings. I want to not shortchange any of them, so let me just pause before we get into that. Candy's got traffic on the fives first.
All
Candy?
Right. It's a little slow near the Andrews Institute, near that light. It's a little stop and go if you're in Gulf Breeze, and that is, of course, heading eastbound. Other than that, not seeing anything. 437-1620. You can text if you see that accident or slow down, Candy, with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Jimmy
Good
Patronus.
Good morning, Candy.
Good morning. I love you, Jimmy Patronus. I'm so glad to hear you, and I just love you.
Great to hear you.
Oh, man, you're awesome. And thank you for doing what you do.
The Supreme Court, one of the big decisions, perhaps the most controversial. I was actually surprised that it was as close as it was. I expected it to be an 8-1, maybe a 7-2, but I believe it was 5-4 if you cobble together all the different opinions. The birthright citizenship case, it seems like an easy one because it is, you know, it's pretty clear right there in the Constitution. But there are some elements of reality in which people are manipulating, twisting, trying to game the system to their advantage that maybe don't get talked about as much. And that, I think, is what the president was trying to thwart, right, Jimmy? And I know this is your passion about some of these. What is the outcome now? What is Congress going to be doing now?
So the only we can go back, we could try to change the Constitution. Good luck. I think we can't even get you know, our own National Defense Authorization Act passed.
Isn't
there's
that crazy?
No way we can get to the birth site the correction for amending that. But I do know that in the first Trump administration, there was an effort to try to curb the birthright citizenship, the birth tourism that takes place. And we got to go back and revisit that. You know, and it takes language in order to tighten it up. You know, I told the team, I said, when somebody applies for a visa to come into this country and they are coming in and they know they're pregnant, well, let's make that part of more the inquiry of why they're seeking a visa to the United States. And then if they are entering here under false pretenses, then you know what? Make it clear that they're not eligible, especially for the parents. Because only when we're talking, they're playing games with the kid, okay? But then let's make sure the kids are on no-fly. I mean, the parents on a no-fly list and can never enter into the United States. So I mean, let's fix what we can fix right now. But I do think that the Supremes do still, because of a 5-4, that they realize this is games being played with our Constitution. It's exploiting it in a perverted way that was never meant to be perverted, and the airlines are enabling this. But you know what? If we're giving them visas, then the airlines are just, you know, complying with, you know, a government document that they've received.
And you know, for people who may not know this story, I know many of you do know this, but for those who don't know, you know, it's very common, for example, for Asians to fly to California and when they're 8 months pregnant and then stay in a hospital / you know, delivery suite. This is typically more wealthy ones. And stay there until they deliver a baby so they can have American citizenship for the child and then fly back home. And then, you know, when they're adults, then they do whatever they want to do. But that is clearly not what the founders intended. I think the law is very clear, and that's why what you're saying, Jimmy, is right, that, you know, the Supreme Court got it right. They are citizens. But is that really the kind of thing that we want to allow? And then the major category I know that Trump is passionate about is, you know, illegal immigrants and people who are here, you know, and come here and then deliver children that live here. Now, in my mind, if they're living here for their whole lives, I mean, I don't have any problem with them being citizens if they were born here. But if they come for, you know, again, a short period of time and then they're deported and they happen to give birth to a child while they're here, you know, like there's something about that that doesn't seem quite fair, just or appropriate, even if it is what the Constitution says.
Well, and here's the other angle that's taking place. I can almost guarantee you when they fly into California, what have you, they'll go into the emergency room to have that delivery take place. You know who's footing the bill on that is the taxpayers. So, I mean, just everything about it stinks, but it's a loophole that is being gained. The law wasn't written to allow somebody to come flying here and give a baby delivery and make the taxpayers pay for it. But that's exactly what's happening because somebody's been born in the United States.
The ruling on mail-in ballots I thought was very interesting. A lot of conservatives are saying that Amy Coney Barrett betrayed the cause. I don't think so. I lived in Oregon. We did 100% mail-in ballots. It doesn't bother me. And certainly when you're talking about accommodating overseas military, I prefer the idea that all the ballots would be in-house and counted on Tuesday, the 1st of November. I would prefer that. But I understand where she's trying to thread the needle and say, look, 5 days after the election day, as long as they're postmarked by the election day and we get them within 5 days, that's a reasonable balance between the, you know, the opportunity of the mail and everything else. But and that was I think that was a 7-2, if I remember correctly. I have to go back and check on that. Maybe that was a 5-4, where she and John Roberts, that's right, she and John Roberts sided with Elena Kagan and the liberals. So conservatives are kind of screaming about this. Your take or what might be done now?
Yeah, so where the president's really getting spun up on mail-in ballots is the harvesting part that's taken place in California. I don't know all the members of the process yet, but I got on an elevator the other day with a Democratic member from California, didn't know me, but decided to engage me on this issue. And so we're talking, and he, for some reason why he decided, you know what, I'm going to vent this to you. He says, you've got to fix mail-in ballots. And I said, okay, well, tell me what's going on. And he says, you would not believe how bad it is in California. He says, we send every single person on the voter rolls a mail-in ballot. And then we have these educational events. He says, and we bring all the people together and we wine them and dine them and feed them. And then we assist them and educate them on how to fill out the ballots. And then they harvest them. So, I mean, here's a Democrat in California who is upset with how his own party has allowed the process to get, because there's certain Democrats just stay in power forever.
Right.
So, I mean, this is all part of, you know, where I think the president's real heartburn over this is how elections are gained in markets with the mail-in ballot process.
And of course, you know, in Florida, you have to request one. You have to go back and request it in basically every election, which restricts that opportunity. But, you know, I mean, even in Florida, there's sort of this old history of having the, you know, the water and barbecue parties where people will come and, you know, fill out their ballots. And, you know, that's something the Democrat Party here has done in the past. And I agree with you that the, you know, we want people to be able to vote and we want to make it as easy for them to vote as possible. Meanwhile, we want to cut down on fraud and abuse and, you know, manipulation of the system. And finding that balance is a challenge. I think that as Republicans, we make a mistake when we come out and be against mail-in ballots in bulk because it is so easy and so useful for so many people. My wife will always do a mail-in ballot because she's a mom. She doesn't have to, you know, the challenges of being a mom and going, and she's gotten accustomed to that system now with the kids are being older. So I think sometimes we sound like we're against mail-in ballots when what we should focus on is being against the abuses of that system.
Yeah, well, that's just how it's being manipulated. But Florida, we do mail-in ballots, right?
Yep.
But we had to be embarrassed on a global scale back in 2000 to get our election house in order. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know how many, 6 weeks afterwards, are still counting ballots for the L.A. mayor's race. I mean, you know, again, I don't live in California. I'm never intending on living in California, but it is pretty stinking embarrassing that's how they do it. But it also protects the way of life and governance that their people want.
Right. Or at least some of them want. Absolutely. And that's part of the challenge. It is ridiculous that we don't have a result from California for anything until so long after. Because it's kind of funny. I made a post about this and I said, you know, Florida does it right. Why don't you do it our way? And everybody's like, yeah, look at 2000. I'm like, we do it right because of 2000. How do you
exactly.
not get this? We went through the pain of doing it badly. And now we do it well because we learned the lesson with all of that. Hey, last thing, Jimmy. I know this is your favorite issue in the whole wide world to talk about. Men playing in women's sports, a transgender sports ban that was upheld by the Supreme Court. It was allowed essentially to prohibit men from, you know, biological men, XY chromosome people from playing in XX chromosome sports. I assume you're fully on board with this, even though, again, it's not necessarily your favorite issue to talk about.
Yeah, no. Look, hey, I'm so glad that was the ruling of the Supreme Court. Now, I mean, you know, let's just move forward and continue to have some sane governance when it comes to, you know, those athletic programs, especially in the amateur space. You know, I think there's just a very crazy, disjointed chapter of collegiate athletics that was exploited by some really, you know, outlandish governance, and now at least sounds like there's some common sense that's starting to come into play again.
And by the way, I was mixing two issues in my head, and I apologize. You don't have any problem talking about this issue. I was thinking about how you don't love talking about the Epstein stuff. That's the one, you know, it's sex related in both cases, and so in very different ways. So I apologize for implying that you don't love talking about or don't care passionately about this issue. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you, buddy. Take care.
You bet. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. And not showing any slowdowns or delays right now, but it is still a little bit slow on I-10, and this is westbound because there is a semi that is all the way over on the side right now. But it's not a roadblock or anything, but people are stopping to look. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
By the way, I am checking with ECUA to find out more, but I'm getting a report here that the Ashley Club apartments on Scenic have been what'd you call them? The apartments everybody's lived in at some point, Candy?
Everybody, yeah, unless you move here with a family.
Yeah,
oh, my
which
God.
I did,
yeah, I lived at the Ashley Club for years.
That they've been without water all day, basically, for about 12 hours, and that it was a water main break. But like I said, that's from listeners, so I'm working to confirm that with ECUA. I'll let you know as soon as we get better information. Hey, if you need any kind of the complicated repairs inside your house, not related to the report, but plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, that's right. Look at that segue. Whether it's a generator installed or maintained, anything like that, anywhere on the Gulf Coast, Peden can take care of you. Good people, good products, good installation, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the work. And, you know, they started in the late 60s, Robert Peden doing air conditioning, and eventually expanded the product lines and the geography to now it's all that stuff and everywhere from Mobile all the way to Tallahassee, two states, two time zones, and anywhere along the Gulf Coast. Good stuff. This spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. I mean, I guess it's technically summer, but whatever. Same thing. That scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off repairs. All of that's included. So you go to the front of the line if there's, you know, a lot of people demanding the service. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, talking about topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use it directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
I'm dying because Candy was so excited I played it, and then she was so upset I interrupted it with
you
the music.
Cut it off.
Well, you know, you can only have so much time for these clips, but she's wearing a Mickey Mouse Club shirt today. Authentic from the 70s?
Authentic from Big Lots when they went out of business.
There you go. Right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a quick headline for us, maybe. David?
Well, flags across the country are at half staff this week in honor of South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. President Trump ordered the tribute after his death over the weekend from a torn aorta.
Yeah, and Sam Neill, actor, also passed away.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.